record button yet. Been talking 15 minutes, hadn't hit the record button yet. Yeah, now I hit it. But anyway, it'll literally be the hive mentality. Everybody will be controlled by the queen. You know, in a beehive, they're all controlled. All the bees are controlled, dominated by the queen bee. Whatever the queen demands, that's what all the worker bees and the soldier bees and the baby bees and all the other little bees, they do whatever the queen tells them to do. And in this case, the queen is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I think along with it, I mentioned this in this week's Watchmen broadcast. The problem with alcohol and drugs or anything else that gives you your kicks, whether you're an adrenaline junkie or you're a methamphetamine junkie or you're a Jack Daniels junkie or whatever, is that we want this high, but we don't want to come down from the high. So I think it's very, very possible and very probable that they're going to sell the Neuralink as a way to get high and stay that way. It's going to give everybody a feeling of euphoria. They're going to like it. They're going to like it a lot. And nobody will want to be disconnected once that happens. Nobody will be. And bringing in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, the strong delusion where everybody's going to believe the lie. They're going to believe it. They're going to be hardwired into believing it. And I believe it literally is going to cause everybody to fall away. To fall, literally. Just as the angels are going to fall, mankind is going to fall. I think literally on a certain day, almost 7 billion people all over the world are going to collapse and fall to the ground. Now, I don't think they're going to stay that way, but I think that's going to happen. That's what you have in the Masonic Lodge with the third degree initiation. You play the character of Hiram Abiff. They hit you on the forehead. You fall backwards. Strong grip of the lion's paw raises you back to life. Think of the lion's grip. Okay? That's in the Bible, by the way. And now you are born again, but not of incorruptible seed. You're born again of corruptible seed, whereby the gods mingle themselves with mankind's DNA, making it permanent now. Once this happens, there's no turning back. So I'm warning everybody against false prophets. False prophets never come with a badge saying false prophet. They don't wear a cap saying, you know, False Prophet Incorporated. I work for them. That's the company I work for, False Prophecies Incorporated. Everything that I say about predicting the future is going to be a lie. They never come with that. So some people don't know how to identify them. Now, the Bible tells us everything that we need to know in order to identify false prophets, false teachers, false brethren, false Bibles. David said, I hate every false way. The Bible gives us everything, every clue, every doctrine, every statement, every principle, every foundation to be able to spot and identify false prophets. Let me put first 2 Peter up on the screen. Let's see here. Somebody sent me an email today, and it's a lie. It's a blatant lie. Trying to convince, and the purpose of the lie that they're telling is to make money. That's the purpose of it. It's to make money off people. To make merchandise of people's souls. By scaring them or by putting up something that is just, it captures your attention. And you say, man, I got to read this. Could this be true? Well, it's not. 2 Peter chapter 2. Let me put that up on the screen for you. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily, sneakily, like snakes slithering through the grass. You never hear them. Snakes don't make footprints. You never hear them marching, all right? Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. That's exactly what Jesus said. He said, Matthew 24, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. The number of people that are going to believe lies is going to far outnumber the number of people who believe the truth and who hold the truth. So it's not, well, you know, everybody believes it's this way. I don't care. Everybody's wrong. If the Bible says one thing and the world says another, I don't care what the world says. I believe what the Bible says. I believe the world says that the universe was created, or the universe accidentally happened 13 billion years ago, and it took 13 billion years for us to arrive on this earth the way we are right now. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it took 6 days, literal days. The evening and the morning were the first day. Evening and the morning were the second day. That's what it says. And by the genealogies of the Bible, we figure it was roughly 6,000 years ago. That is exactly what I believe. So just because a majority of the people of the earth believe one way and God says another doesn't mean that the Bible's wrong. It means that everybody else is wrong. Because some people will use that in their arguments. Mike, how can all these people be wrong? Well, I don't know how they can be. I just know they are. So false teachers, false prophets, privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. In Marketing 101, if you want someone to buy your product, if you have a competitor who is competing against you, you have to convince the buyer that your competitor's product is junk and it's no good, it won't work, our product will. That's how you do it. So look at verse 2. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. In order to get you to believe a lie, they have to convince you that the truth is a lie. And with some people, that's pretty easy. It's pretty easy. Why? Because they don't believe the Bible. Or they just don't do any real research. Or they're just lazy, I guess. I don't know. So that's what you have to do. You have to convince everybody And we are surrounded by churches who tell the world all the Bibles have mistakes in them. And yet we say, no, our King James Bible has no mistakes in it, has no errors in it. It is the Word of God. But they have to speak evil against that. They have to convince you that the Bible is a lie and it won't give you the truth. However, I will give you the truth. That's what they do. And verse 3 shows you why they do what they do. Through covetousness. Why do they do what they do? Covetousness. What is covetousness? They lust after this, they lust after that, they want this, they want that. The love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. Even Satan, Lucifer himself, is guilty of the love of money. He loves trafficking and merchandising. He loves that. That's his nature. So through covetousness shall they with feigned words, fake words, lying words, deceiving words, make merchandise of you. So once you understand that, yes, there are people out there who are simply trying to make money off of you, however they can, once you realize that, well, then that might help you understand why there are false prophets, why there are false teachers, and why people make up lies. Now, let me show you one. I got sent this. This is from the Health Ranger, Mike Adams. He is one of the internet's biggest liars. One of them. Now, we all know the left-wing lies. The left liberals in America, Canada, you name whatever country, liberals lie. We know that. They lie, they cheat, they steal elections. We get it. But some of you have a hard time believing that people on the right wing could lie too. Because I'm assuming everybody that would listen to me is sort of similar to me in that we are on the right wing. I don't know who came up with right and left wings, but anyway, it's been going on for years. But we believe in conservative values, conservative ideas, biblical-based ideas, I guess. Right is right, wrong is wrong. We believe in a moral system, a certain world outlook. So it's hard for us to fathom why somebody on the right wing would lie. Unless, of course, money's involved. And in this case, money's involved. Natural News, Mike Adams, has, I don't know how many websites the guy has. And quote-unquote news outlets where he's going to tell you the real truth. You see, there's people that, because they know the liberal left lies, then that automatically means that everything on the right must be true. But it's not. The article says Canadian government publishes bid request for, quote, programmable hydraulic guillotines. Oh, no! They're going to cut our heads off! Now, as soon as you see the word guillotine, what do you think? Book of Revelation. They're going to cut people's heads off in the Book of Revelation. That part is true. In fact, let's look at where it says it. One of the places, Revelation chapter 6. the opening of the fifth seal. Let's see here, verse 9. When he'd opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, why were they slain? For the word of God and the testimony which they held. Why were they slain? The Bible. They were slain because they believed the word of God. Now, let me say something. Not everybody on the right wing believes the Bible. Not everybody does. There's a lot of people in this world who would be characterized as conservative, right wing, but they don't believe the Bible is 100% true. Some of them don't believe in God at all. Some of them are sodomites. There are conservative sodomites. Okay? So just because they're on the right wing doesn't mean that they believe the Bible. Those that were killed specifically. Not because they were a Republican. Not because they were conservative. Not because they made videos on the Georgia Guidestones or what am I trying to think of? Where they're spraying stuff in the air, you know, chemtrails. They're anti-vax, vaccine. Just because people are that doesn't mean that they're born-again Christians. One doesn't equal the other. You have to believe every word of God is true. Every word of God is pure. And your salvation is not based upon the fact that you research conspiracy theories. Your salvation is based upon you falling before your face, on your face, before Almighty God in godly sorrow because of sin. And you want forgiveness of those sins and redemption. You want to live, you want to have eternal life. And you, God puts a spirit in you of faith that you just believe that every word of God is true. You believe it. So that's why they were killed. And then it says, verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. That's not exactly what I'm looking for. The word beheaded is the word I'm looking for. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So yeah, John the Baptist was beheaded. And there are going to be people who are going to be beheaded. Again, for what reason? For the word of God. They're going to have their heads cut off because they believed and they promoted the word of God. Now let's go back to this article. And so I checked, and he actually did give a link. And it's right here. The Canadian government on its official acquisition website is requesting bids for programmable hydraulic guillotines. As part of products and services in support of Canada's response to COVID-19. So I pulled that up. There it is. Okay. And this is open to the public. Anybody, I didn't have to backdoor into the Canadian Defense Department's database or whatever. says they want programmable hydraulic guillotines. Now, let me put that back up. Additional details on the bid include, and he gives the specifications, so on and so on. Guillotine is a term that describes a mechanical device with a powerful chopping blade that can slice things apart. Although there are industrial uses for cutting devices, such as in the book publishing industry, we have one here at the church. We use it to cut paper so we can run them through our binding machine and make books. We have a guillotine here at Bethel Church. But Mike Adams wants you to believe that they're not buying those kinds of guillotines. Google image search. Programmable hydraulic guillotines. And voila! They're used in all sorts of industries. Any kind of programmable hydraulic machine that could be used to cut or slice or dice anything. But Mike Adams wants you to believe that this is a cover story. What they're really doing, and see, he's got proof, because Antifa made mock guillotines. There's your proof right there. Antifa made mock guillotines. Now, people, do you really believe that the Canadian government put out an open bid, an open bid? This is not top secret. This is not done behind the scenes. An open bid for contractors to supply the Canadian government with guillotines that are going to be used to cut people's heads off because they got COVID-19. I still have the paper hanging up here on the wall. Let me go back to Mike Adams' website. Here's why he puts this story out. Okay, the story's dated November 15th, 2020. That was 2 days ago. You see all this stuff here, and here, and here, and here, and here, and here. Let's count: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10, 11, keep going, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 20 advertisements on his webpage. Now, with Mike Adams, all of his advertisements take you to his store. He's not advertising for somebody else. Oh, no. He's keeping all the money. He wants you to buy his health food stuff. So he comes up with some bogus article with zero evidence whatsoever of the fact that the guillotines are designed to cut people's heads off. It's just the Canadian government putting out a notice to companies to supply them with some sort of mechanical guillotines to cut and slice something. But he made it sound like They're going to be used to cut it's a cover story. They're going to be used to cut people's heads off. Now, if you will buy our broccoli sprouts, what good is that going to do? But he wants you to go to his store to buy his junk. That's what he wants. This is an example of a false prophet, a false teacher. Someone who is telling you, this is going to happen. They're going to kill all of us. But before they kill Mike Adams, he's going to make a ton of money off of you before they kill him. Ha ha. I still have, somebody sent me a message today asking me, Pastor, have you seen this? And it was a guy reading this whistleblower from Canada who claims they are a committee member for the Liberal Party of Canada, sat in a strategic planning committee, and here is the Canadian government's COVID-19 response. I still have it stuck on the wall here in my top secret broadcasting compound. Daily new cases of COVID-19 will surge beyond capacity of testing, including increases in COVID-related deaths following the same growth curves expected by end of November 2020. Now remember, by December of this year, which is next month, is when Canada is going to roll out the death camps. So, I've got this. I'm going to stick it back in the wall here, if I can. There we go. That way I don't lose it. I've got it stuck there. And when it doesn't happen, I'm going to get it out and I'm going to read it again. And I'm going to tell everybody, this was made up. This was made up. All right. Now, speaking of the false prophets, let's go back to Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy, because there, and people, here's what I'm getting at. This is always going to be why I do what I do. It is to encourage you, to incite you, to provoke you to read the Bible more and to believe the Bible more, to study the Bible more and not worry about what everybody on the internet is saying. I opened up account. I have, anytime I record something, a sermon or Pastor Mike online or Watchman broadcast, it goes first of all to Sermon Audio and then to YouTube. There is a new video hosting place called BitChute. I have to be careful. BitChute.com. Now, BitChute doesn't take down videos that are right-wing conspiracy-related videos. They don't take them down. YouTube has taken, and there's a lawsuit against YouTube right now from a bunch, about 20 different channels that YouTube just said, I want you off of here because we don't want you talking about Trump anymore. And that's all they were doing. That's all they were doing. So anyway, there's a lawsuit against YouTube for that. Now, on BitChute, I noticed today, one of the videos that's trending today is a video that is proving that Kamala Harris is a reptilian shapeshifter. Nope, I'm not making that up. Giving you the proof that Kamala Harris is actually an alien, reptilian, shapeshifter. Now, that video won't be... But I like these videos that people put up there that they say, hurry up, watch this, before it's taken down. As if they're really going to take that video down. I have an account at BitChute. I uploaded the Watchmen broadcast to that yesterday. I only have one video on BitChute. I'm going to upload this on there. But my point is, just because it is right-wing and conspiracy theory related, and just because it matches what some people or you might believe, that doesn't make it true. But we react to it as if it is. And we're sending out false alarms, is what we're doing. By sharing it on our Facebook page, or tweeting it out, or using Parler. I have a Parler account. I haven't used it. Or putting it on YouTube, or sharing it with our email people, or whatever. We're promoting these things as if they're true, but in fact, they're not true. So what does that make us? It makes us liars. It makes us guilty of spreading lies. And when we spread lies long enough, then we try to tell people about Jesus Christ and how to be saved. Are they going to believe us? No, they're not going to believe a word we say. Because we told everybody that Canada is building guillotines to kill people who have COVID. But it's not true. It's not true. Okay? Read your Bible. Think Bible. Meditate on your Bible. Promote your Bible. Share your Bible. Live your Bible. That's the job of the watchman. If the watchman blows the trumpet and gives out false signals, then people that you're trying to protect, when you sound the alarm, when the sword really is coming, they won't believe you. You've damaged your reputation, and they won't believe you any longer. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 13. Let's go there. I've got it up on the screen. Let me put it there. Here we go. He said, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spoke unto thee, saying, let us go after the purpose of the sign, was to get you to go after other gods. Now, for those of you who don't believe in UFOs, or the Pentagon's now calling them unknown aerial phenomenon, UAP. Instead of, see, people back in the 50s were calling them flying saucers. And people were seeing flying saucers. And Air Force pilots from around the world were engaging with flying saucers. Engaging with them. People at military bases. People at ICBM bases. International intercontinental ballistic missiles. People at these silos were seeing these things hovering over their missile silos, decommissioning their missiles, shutting down their missiles. There is a man, he was part of the, I can't think of the word, my COVID fog's kicking in. The Disclosure Project, several people stood up and testified. They said, we're willing to swear an oath and give testimony before Congress that what we're telling you is true. That some of these flying saucers or glowing lights in the sky were hovering over these ICBM missile silos and shut down all their missiles, showing basically us that they can knock out our defenses if they want to. And they did. The Rendlesham Forest incident happened in England. RAF Bentwaters. There's two Air Force bases, one owned by Great Britain, one owned by the United States, right next to each other, next to the Rendlesham Forest. Colonel Charles Halt, I think is his name, actually saw and touched one of them that landed in the forest. And they noted that these flying saucers, unidentified flying objects, unknown aerial phenomenon, they were flying over where the nuclear bombs were stored, because not every nuclear device is on the end of a missile warhead. Some of them would be loaded up into bombers and literally flown over a target and dropped. And these UAPs, UFOs, flying saucers, whatever you want to call them, were probing these storage areas where they were storing nuclear bombs. Do we believe that? Do we just dismiss that and say that never happened? Let's go on about our daily lives. That never happened. I'm going to forget I ever heard that and just live my life. But God said in His Word that false prophets would rise up, show a sign or a wonder. Now, He didn't identify what those signs or wonders would be. But He said, if the sign or the wonder come to pass, and then He said, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. God warned us about such a time. And He said then in verse 3, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. The internet is full of UFO videos, UFO pictures. There are YouTube channels dedicated and devoted to that. And some of them are fake, obviously, but many of them are real. Just recently, over Colorado, let's see here. Let me pull that up. I just did a search. Just this year in, Colorado. Let me put that up on the screen for you. There we go. Does this image show the Colorado Mystery Drone Swarm? This is from June of this year. The image obtained from the FAA appears to show a formation of craft above Nebraska and could be the best photo evidence yet of the mystery drones. Now, there was a whole series of events that took place over Nebraska and Colorado where it looked like these drones were in the air. Now, I watched a documentary the other day about these drone sightings. And a woman who was a photojournalist, she had been to Iraq. She had covered a lot of different events across the world. She started looking into these drone sightings, taking the videos that people had posted online, started examining them with using various video editing software. Some of the software I have, I don't know how to use it, but I have it. And she started examining these things. I thought at first that they were just either commercial drones or military drones because they had flashing lights on them. But as this particular documentary filmmaker pointed out, they were not, you know, things that fly through the air in the United States have to have anti-collision lights. Lights that flash every now and then so that you know that there's an approaching aircraft or there's an aircraft in your vicinity. Radio towers, things like that, anything that sticks up in the air has to have a flashing light. The FAA makes them put a light on it so that pilots flying aircraft will know that there's something in the sky at night. And apparently, these were not military drones or commercial drones of any kind. The lights didn't match the FAA requirements. There was something about them that just, they just looked like something that did not come or originate from this world. And apparently, they wanted to be seen. They wanted people to be aware that they were there. Would that qualify as a sign or a wonder? And I believe it does. And you have people like Tom DeLonge from Blink 182, rock star, hiring all of these former Defense Department people, CIA, Pentagon officials. You have Stephen Greer, likewise, getting all of these former military people to stand in front of the press and say, this is what I saw. I saw objects on the moon. I saw images of objects on Mars. I saw lights hover over our ICBM silo. And they all said we would swear an oath and we would testify before Congress. And testifying before Congress carries with it a penalty. That if you're found out, it's found out that you're lying, you could go to prison for a very long time. And all of these military officials coming out and saying, this is what I know, this is what I saw, this is what I witnessed. One guy who worked for the FAA had the tape, the radar tape, of a particular UFO incident. He kept the tape. So all of these people, I don't think they're lying. But they're pointing us in the direction of these other gods. Stephen Greer, Tom DeLonge, Linda Moulton Howe, you name it. All of these people are pointing us in the direction of what amounts to what the Bible calls gods. The gods, I believe, are coming. And it's those gods that we're wrestling with. Remember what Paul said, Ephesians chapter 6. For we wrestle not, verse 12, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness. And where would the spiritual wickedness be? In high places. So I believe these gods are coming. So Deuteronomy 17, God said this in verse 2, if there be found among you within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman, that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods. You see, Stephen Greer has what he calls close encounters of the fifth kind. Close encounters of the first kind is someone sees a UFO. Close encounter of the second kind is that the UFO leaves some sort of evidence, whether it's a photograph, a video, or in the landing spot, there's radioactivity, measurable radioactivity, or some other signature, some evidence. Close encounter of the third kind is human and alien contact. That's why Steven Spielberg made the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Close encounters of the fourth kind is an alien abduction of a human being. Close encounters of the fifth kind is what people like Stephen Greer and others specialize in. Human initiated contact. Now, if I wanted to contact my wife, I would either call her, or I would send her a text message, or if she's in the room, I would just talk to her. If I wanted to contact God, I would do so through Jesus Christ. But if you want to contact these other gods, the multitude of the one-third of the angelic host of heaven that is in rebellion against God, if you wanted to contact them, then you have to meditate, you have to empty your mind, you have to do all kinds of weird things in order to make contact with them. It's just how it is. All right, we're back. Crazy stuff going on. All right, let me get back to what I was talking about. I'll put that back up on the screen. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 3. God said, they have gone out and served other gods and worshiped them, either the sun or the moon or any of the host of heaven. Think about all the different people around the world that have worshiped the sun. From North America, South America, Europe, England. They suspect that Stonehenge had to do with worship of the sun on the summer solstice. Africa. The Aborigines, always, everybody worships the sun. The Japan, their god is the sun god. It's on the flag. But anyway, or any of the host of heaven. The host of heaven, those luminaries up in the sky, are angels. And according to Revelation 12, the devil is going to take his tail, the dragon, and scoop up one-third of an innumerable company of angels and cast them down to earth. They and their chariots. Anyway, or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel. Then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman, which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and thou, and shalt stone them with stones till they die. Remember, God is a jealous God. And he will not allow anything to be worshiped before him. It's one of the commandments. So, let me switch slides here. Deuteronomy 13, verse 13. Dun, 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 that's a dun, dun, dun there. The number 13 always points you to Deuteronomy 13, Acts 13, Revelation 13, like the false prophet. You have the false prophet mentioned in Acts 13. You have false prophets mentioned in Deuteronomy 13. You have the false prophet mentioned in Revelation chapter 13. And so now in verse 13, certain men, the children of Belial, think of the wheat and the tares, the children of the wicked. And who are children of Belial? Anybody that's not saved. Those who are not born again of incorruptible seed are children of the wicked one. Certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which ye have not known. I have a book here. Hang on. On Hinduism. And it's weird. The stuff that Hindus believe is just bizarre. They worship Hanuman, the monkey god, Ganesha, the elephant-headed god, Shiva, the destroyer god, Brahman, and Shakti are some of the names of, guess how many gods are worshipped in the Hindu religion? You want to take a guess? 330 million. Bum, bum, bum. 33. I think the 330 million gods of the Hindu religion are the one-third, the 33%, of the angels that are cast out of heaven. The rebellious devil gods. And Hinduism teaches you the yoga practices and the meditation that it takes to get in touch with these gods. In fact, the word yoga literally means yoke. Like being yoked together with unbelievers. You are connecting yourself with these gods. And what I was saying before we were cut off was that in order to pray to God, you go through the mediator, Jesus Christ, and you simply pray. You pray in your mind, pray in your spirit, you can pray out loud, but it doesn't require certain words. It doesn't require the recitation of certain mantras or certain repeated phrases. My goodness, you can ask God something one time and God can do it. Think of Elijah. The Bible tells us that Elijah was a man of like passions as we. Yet he prayed one time that it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. That's how easy it is to pray to the real God. In Hinduism, you have to, and it takes, some people, it takes years of practice meditating. And what that means is emptying your mind, going into an alpha state of consciousness, an altered state, a, a drunken state. Because apparently the only way to make contact with their gods is through this altered state of consciousness. Now, guess what? That is the exact way that Stephen Greer does it, making contact with the UFOs. What does that tell you? How is it that this, and they say that the Hindu religion is probably close to 5,000 years old. Well, that puts it at the time of the Tower of Babel, or shortly thereafter. How is it that this nearly 5,000-year-old religious practice of shutting down all thought processes in your mind, turning your brain basically into nothingness, to where it doesn't work, you thinking no thoughts whatsoever, how is it that that practice is the exact same way that Stephen Greer and his followers can get the UFOs to show up? And he's not the only one. Paula White. I can't think of her name. She's a UFO expert. She's been in contact and has actually seen some of these gods. They did some sort of contact thing out at Mount Shasta up in Washington State. And actually she was in contact and saw an entity coming out of the woods that was speaking to her in a language that she had no idea what they were saying. But they all basically make contact the same way. They go into a trance. They do yoga. So shouldn't that wake these people up to the fact that these are not aliens living on other planets? These are gods, and God hates them. They're in rebellion to the God that we love and adore and serve. And God says, whoever leads you to those gods and who worship those gods and brings you to those gods, you should be put to death. Judges chapter 2, verse 1. An angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And people, that is exactly what is happening. If we accept the testimony of Colonel Philip Corso, who wrote the book The Day After Roswell, who said that he was given a file cabinet that had technology in it from one of the recovered crashed disks at Roswell or Corona, New Mexico. If we're to believe that story, and there are others. Who am I trying to think of? The guy just drew a blank. I can see his face. Bob Lazar, who came out and did a live interview in Las Vegas saying that he worked. It's the first time Area 51 had ever seen the light of day. Nobody knew about Area 51 until Bob Lazar came out in the late 80s, live interview on camera, and said that he works at an area outside of Area 51 called S4, Section 4, and that there are 9 large hangars built into the side of the mountain, camouflaged, And inside those nine hangars are nine recovered alien chariots. And that he was working on back engineering these flying machines. One of them, of which he said that he was debriefed, he sat down, first day on the job, they brought him into a room, set him down with a big stack of papers, and they said, read this. This is your debriefing session. And he read in there that one of those recovered discs, it wasn't that the military found out that there was a crash and they went and recovered it. One of them was dug up by archaeologists. One of these things had landed or had crashed hundreds or thousands of years ago. Who knows? If we are to believe these stories, then that means that our world, as it is right now, and the technology that we have right now, along with the technology that's coming down the road to us from the future, is technology that's designed to do one thing: draw mankind to desire after these gods, to want to know what they know, to want the technology they have. David Fravor, he's one of the pilots that Tom DeLonge's company, To the Stars Academy, features in. Tom DeLonge's company, To the Stars Academy, they released three Pentagon videos taken from United States jet fighter planes. And David Fravor was the pilot of one of these, and he's the one that saw the Tic Tac UFO. And Fravor said it had no jet stream, it had no wings, had no known source of propulsion. It did things that my jet couldn't do. He said, I don't know what it was or who was flying it. All I know is, boy, would I love to fly one of those. The whole mission behind Tom DeLonge's To the Stars Academy basically is to promote the idea that one of these days we're going to leave this earth in machines, the technology of which was given to us, or we took it away from whatever. But that's the idea, that man is going to leave this world and go out into the heavens. That is exactly what man was trying to do in Genesis chapter 11 with the Tower of Babel. Let us make us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. Let us make us a name for ourselves. And when God saw it, he decided to split everybody up, confuse their languages, divide everybody up geographically. But now man is on the verge of joining back together again. So, back to Judges chapter 2. The angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Now think of what Canaan land represents as heaven. That to me is obvious. It's the land of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey. The inhabitants of that land right now are the one-third of these angels that are in the heavenly realm. The plan is God is going to kick them out. Then he's going to call us up to live in their place. I'm looking forward to that. Some days, it can't happen fast enough for me. Amen? So, that's who we're dealing with. whether it's you see it in the book of Joshua, the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Judges, the inhabitants of Canaan land are the one third of the angels that God is going to kick them out so we can live. And there's, and he said, make no league with them. Don't come into any agreement with them whatsoever. Don't learn their religion. He said, you shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? God says. Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. Now, I was re-watching Stephen Greer's Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind documentary that he put out this year. And he basically says this, that all of the negative things that people have said about alien visitors coming to this planet to do nefarious, evil things, that's all a lie. And he showed clips from various Hollywood movies like Independence Day and The Day the Earth Stood Still and Predator and you name it. There's always these evil alien movies where the aliens are coming and they're very vile creatures and they need to be destroyed and mankind needs to come together to destroy them and on and on and on. And Greer says that's all a lie. These extraterrestrial entities, they want peace with us. They will bring us into a higher consciousness. They will bring us to a higher awareness, a higher state. They're going to fix all of our problems. We're going to stop global warming. We're going to cure all diseases. We're going to end all wars. He believes this. Greer's been in contact with these guys, these extraterrestrials, since he was in college. He credits them for saving his life. And he can't wait for the day when they come and present themselves to mankind and mankind accepts them. Mankind wants them to come here. But God's saying it's a trap. It's a snare. They're going to trap you. They're lying through their teeth. The school children in Zimbabwe, the Ariel Elementary School in Zimbabwe, 62 elementary school children from, I'm going to say like third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade children. All of them saw the exact same thing. All of them did. They saw this saucer-shaped disc land. These gray-headed, big, bug-eyed aliens came out of it wearing some sort of uniform. And as they made contact with these students, they embedded pictures into their brains like end-of-the-world type stuff. Like, you know, we're harming the planet, we're destroying the earth, and you know, we're gonna catch the whole world on fire unless we change our ways, and that's why they're here. They want us to stop doing the harm that we're doing to our environment and treat the earth better, and we need to stop being warriors and get along. And in other words, they want basically the same thing out of us that liberals want. They want us all pacified, no resistance, welcome them as friends, and everything will be okay. That is a trap. Psalm 82, verse 6, I have said ye are gods. So these gods exist. Various Bible names are angels, evil angels. You're not going to find the phrase fallen angel, but we know these angels are going to fall, so you could call them fallen angels. angels that left their first estate, and so on. Gods, devils, unclean spirits, familiar spirits, drunken spirits. You are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men and fall like, and here's that word, princes. This is what we're wrestling with. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Revelation 6, I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. What day is that? What day is that? That's the day that, I was going to put that on the screen. Acts chapter 2, that's the day of Pentecost. Peter preached this message, I will show wonders in heaven and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the great notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's quoting from the book of Joel. And look at what Joel said concerning that day. That it's a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. And then he mentioned a great people and a strong. And I've been, over the last few days, studying this nation, this people, this group of whatever they are. God calls them a nation of people, a type of people. They are a nation of fierce countenance. We know that. Which means that they look mean. They look angry. They look like they will kill you. They look evil. You know how Hollywood portrays bad people versus good people. Okay? Good people always look nice and have a smile and they're clean cut. And bad people are always look dark and sinister. And okay? They're going to look evil. They are of a fierce countenance. And they speak a language that no one knows. Now, every language on the earth is known by at least somebody on this earth. But these people speak a language that nobody knows. They won't be able to discern what it is that they're saying. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots. There it is. On the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, and as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways and shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in the windows like a what? Like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. That's how God describes it. Verse 13, the stars, this is Revelation 6 again, the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Revelation 12, There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Revelation 12, verse 7, and there was a war in heaven. Michael, just like in Canaan, the war against the inhabitants of the land, which, let's go to Deuteronomy. Let's see what chapter. It's chapter 7. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Seven nations, seven types of evil angels that are greater and mightier than mere mortal men. Man won't be able to conquer them. We wrestle against them daily. They are our enemies. They are the enemies of God. They are the enemies of Jesus Christ. They are the enemies of the gospel. They are enemies of the Holy Spirit. And we wrestle against them daily. I've had people tell me stories about their encounters with these gray devils. One person telling that when they confessed the name of Jesus, they vanished away. That tells you something. If these were creatures like the Klingons or the Ewoks living on another planet, why would they be afraid of a make-believe character out of our religion named Jesus? They are very afraid of him. That's what these devils are. The seven nations, greater and mightier, I believe, are these third part of the stars of heaven. So there was a war. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. These gods are coming to the earth. They're coming to invade. Now, the Sumerians pictured these gods in various ways. This is one of the ways that they depicted them. Notice the shape of the head, the big eyes. If you've seen the movie The Fourth Kind, they feature these images in that movie. Fourth Kind is, it's one of these so-called found footage movies. In other words, supposedly there's this footage that exists of these people. I thought it was true when I first saw it, but then I found out that it wasn't. The story is based upon a psychiatrist, I think, who does hypnosis with people who've had encounters with these alien devils. And at one point, while the person is under hypnosis, they start speaking in this tongue. And of course, it's being videotaped. And the psychiatrist sends it to a professor at a university or something like that. And it says it's ancient Sumerian and so on. And they picture these gods in there. What did I say that movie was called? The Fourth Kind? There's another movie. It's not quite as scary as that one, but it's about an alien living on this earth, and it's called I Am Number 4. Dun, dun, dun. And it's about this guy, this teenager, who's living as an alien on this planet. He's escaped his planet. He's living here, incognito, looking human, because the other aliens are out to kill him or something like that. And he has magic powers and all this stuff. This is Nazca Peru. This is part of the Nazca lines. You can see the head here. The big eyes. By the way, this is carved into the side of a mountain. Here's the feet, the legs, the body, the hand raised up, sort of in a hailing gesture. Hi! Maybe that's where Steven Spielberg got the idea from. And E.T., oh, you can just tell Spielberg's not a born-again Christian. Because he makes E.T., and E.T. is about a god who falls to the earth, dies, is resurrected, and ascends back into heaven. What does that sound like to you? And then he says, I'll be right here. Ugh, it's creepy. This is the way these gods were depicted thousands of years ago. Notice the eyes. These right here look like E.T. These sort of look lizard-like, if you ask me. Here's some more. Here. Here's their faces here. Somebody sort of superimposed an alien face, I guess, over one of these, carved into the rocks. The Japanese have these gods called the Dogu. Notice the eyes, very large eyes. Here's some more of them. I think this is Aboriginal art here. Here's some here. Here, down here, over here. So, how far removed is the images that ancient man carved into rocks or painted in cave walls or whatever of the gods that they worshipped or the gods that they feared or the gods that descended down one day or whatever? How far removed is that from the images that people have described of various extraterrestrial entities? I'd say they're pretty close. They're pretty close. I myself have not seen an evil angel, a devil. But again, I know some people that have. They've seen them. Somebody told me just recently about, and they said usually it happens at night. These are children of darkness, by the way. So they usually happen at night. And he said it just scared the daylights out of him. Bothered him bad that he had seen this. I can imagine so. Here's some more figures, idols, of sort of reptilian, serpent, lizard-like features, coned heads. There was a skit on Saturday Night Live back in the old days in the 70s called the Coneheads, and they were aliens trying to blend in on Earth, and for some reason, nobody knew they were aliens, even though they had these big cone heads, okay? Here's some more of them. This is from China. Same idea. These are their gods now, okay? These are the gods that will one day, and in nearly every culture, the gods always ride in chariots. Or we could say the gods are the chariots. I encourage you to do a study. The word chariot or chariots in your Bible, you'll find some very interesting stories. In fact, I may run through some of those. Psalm 68:17, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. I watched an interview with Eric von Daniken, the author of Chariots of the Gods, which is basically what the History Channel TV show Ancient Aliens is based on. He's the guy that started all this. He went around the world. He saw all these artifacts. He saw all these cave drawings. He saw all these statues. And even though he said he was raised a Catholic, he read Ezekiel chapter 1 and he didn't believe it. He didn't believe that this was God. Because he said, if you're God, why do you need a chariot to ride around in? Well, I'm not God. And I don't know exactly why God chooses to ride around in a chariot. But I don't have a problem with the fact that he does. I just believe it. I believe what God's word says. And Ezekiel chapter 1 tells us that the chariot that God rides in, if we go to the end of the chapter, verse 26, above the firmament that's over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. So that would be God, Jesus Christ. And this was the likeness, the appearance of the glory of the Lord. And as soon as Ezekiel realized it, he says, I fell upon my face and heard a voice of one that spake. So he's describing this means of conveyance that God uses. This chariot that he's riding on. The verse that we just read earlier, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The chariots, this is something I think it's just maybe a little bit hard for us to grasp. This ink pen, for instance, is not living. It's not alive. Okay, it doesn't reproduce, it can't speak. It's a non-living thing. However, in the spiritual realm, apparently, the chariots themselves are alive. As alive as Michael the angel, Gabriel the angel, Lucifer the angel. They are alive. You look in Ezekiel 1, let's see here, when he's talking about the wheels, verse 16, the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Basically meaning that the wheels were living. Now, here's what's interesting. Stephen Greer practices, along with Hindu meditation and yoga, a form of Kabbalah called Merkaba. And Merkaba mysticism, the word Merkaba is the Hebrew word for chariot. So Greer's whole existence, his whole life, is basically promoting these gods, the angels themselves, and the chariots themselves. Because the chariots, according to the scriptures, are just as alive as the other types of angels are. And again, that kind of falls outside of our understanding, like this pen. I would not say this pen is my friend. I talk to my pen every day. We're buddies. I don't do that. But you see what we're getting used to here? We're getting used to treating our dead, lifeless cell phones or our computer devices of whatever kind as if they were alive because we talk to them and we listen to them. And in some cases, we take their advice. Do you see how gradually, slowly but surely, we're being transformed to a people that views, and these devices themselves at some point, will they be alive the way we define life? Will they be able to think on their own, act on their own, have a will, desires? Because that's the image of the beast in Revelation 13. The image of the beast causes everyone who will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Meaning that the image of the beast itself has a free will, a desire. And desire is something only attributed to a living creature. So, the chariot wheels, the chariots themselves, the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. So that basically, whenever the four angels wanted to go somewhere, all they had to do was think. And when they thought, then whithersoever, whatever direction they wanted to go in, that was the direction that the chariot went in. They were one together with that chariot. This, by the way, is what Bob Lazar and others have described with these UFOs, these chariots, that basically the occupants of the chariot, these devils, and the chariot itself became one. And wherever the occupant, whoever was driving or sitting in the chair, wherever they wanted to go, that's exactly where they went. As fast as lightning. That's what it says here in Ezekiel. Let's see here. They ran and returned as fast as lightning. I can't find the verse, but anyway, it's there. But these gods, for some reason, they all came in chariots. All showed up in chariots of some kind. Disc-shaped, sometimes pear-shaped, sometimes like spheres. But they're real. And they're coming. One of these days, they're coming. I'm just wondering about those drones out in Colorado. That happened back in June, and to this day, nobody has an explanation for what they were. Nobody knows where they came from, what they were. But they wanted to be seen. So maybe that just brought us one step closer, because it gets people to wonder, what was that that we saw? What are those things that are showing up in the sky? Then you have more and more government disclosure of what the government knows. My question is, if Trump doesn't succeed in winning his lawsuits to become president, because we know Biden cheated. There's just no way people voted him in to be president. But if Trump doesn't succeed to be president, what will happen to his space force? And what was the real purpose behind it? I don't know. But I think at some point we'll find out. Right? Good to be with you today. God bless you. You're the reason why we do what we do. Continue to pray for our ministry in Kenya. I have a number of people that we fed. Hang on a second. 1,280 homes in the last 3 days. To God be the glory. Pray for the hungry people. God bless you. I love you. We'll see you.